Voters will decide on major property tax cuts. That has cities and counties worried. You're listening to The Wrap from Central Florida Public Media. I'm Brendan Byrne. The November election just got even more important. Florida lawmakers on Tuesday approved a ballot proposal to reduce property taxes, which fund local government services. Republicans argue the taxes have gotten too expensive and local governments have been spending too much.
We have worked to rein in spending, pay down debt, and save for Florida's future. Local government must do the same.
Most Democrats came out against the plan, saying it will harm local government services and call it a tax shift. They say it'll lead to an increase in fees to cover costs. If 60% of voters approve, it would greatly increase homestead exemptions on the property taxes that don't go towards schools. The implications of cutting property taxes, that's ahead on The Wrap. The big stories this week from Central Florida Public Media. But first, these headlines. Florida Attorney General James Uthmeyer has officially filed a civil lawsuit against OpenAI and its founder, Sam Altman. WFSU's Tristan Wood reports.
In the filing, the Attorney General's office alleges the artificial intelligence company that owns ChatGPT has been negligent.
Sam Altman and ChatGPT have chosen the AI race over the safety and security of our kids. They have chosen profit over public safety. And we're not going to stand for it here in Florida. So we will hold them accountable.
Uthmeyer has been a loud voice against ChatGPT since it became public that logs show the accused gunman on Florida State University's campus asked the AI chatbot for advice on how to carry out the shooting. The Attorney General is also currently conducting a criminal investigation into the platform. He says the company should have safety measures in place.
ChatGPT, this is one of the biggest corporations, the best at analyzing and programming data. How can they see somebody planning a murder over hours, days, or even weeks and not step in to fix it, not alert authorities about what credible evidence might be there?
Family members of one of the victims killed in the FSU shooting have filed their own lawsuit against OpenAI. A spokesperson for the company has said OpenAI is not responsible for the shooting and that safeguards are in place.
That's Tristan Wood reporting in Tallahassee. Volusia County is holding 5 intake sessions in the coming weeks to help residents apply for federal disaster relief through the Transform 386 Homeowner Recovery Program. The program is funded by more than $460 million the county received from the Department of Housing and Urban Development to help low to moderate income households recover from Hurricanes Ian and Milton. The county says more than 300 households have benefited from the assistance so far, including Scott Davis. Davis says the renovations to his flood-damaged home, now elevated 2 feet off the ground, have made a world of difference.
Like I always tell everybody, I can make my brother a grilled cheese sandwich without using an umbrella. That's a beautiful thing.
Intake sessions are on Thursdays from 4 to 6 p.m. You can get more information at cfpublic.org. Blue Origin says it expects to fly its New Glenn rocket by the end of this year. That's after an explosion last week destroyed a rocket and damaged the company's launch facility at Cape Canaveral. Blue Origin's CEO Dave Limp says the company was able to assess the damage to the pad and is optimistic the team can repair it. He says tanks that store propellant at the pad and parts of the future rocket that are stored there also are in good shape. A massive launch tower that was damaged by the explosion can be repaired, he said, and doesn't need to be completely rebuilt. That's good news for NASA. Blue Origin and its Blue Moon lander are critical to the agency's plans to return humans to the moon. These stories and more on our website. Visit cfpublic.org. Make Music Orange County is a new to Central Florida project that aims to cover the county in music performed by the community that's free to the community.
We can have a barber shop quartet in a coffee shop. We can have a guitarist in someone's side yard of a private house. We can have Asian fusion being performed in the middle of a grocery store.
Hear more on Spotlight. Get it wherever you get this podcast. A major property tax overhaul lies in the hands of Florida voters. About half of Florida's 11 million properties were someone's primary residence and qualified for homestead last year, according to research from the Florida legislature. To address affordability concerns during a special session on Tuesday, the legislature approved a proposal that would lower a home's assessed value by $250,000, effectively reducing property taxes. Legislative Republicans say the taxes are too expensive and local officials are spending too much taxpayer money on projects they consider wasteful. Earlier this year, Florida DOGE questioned local government spending decisions. Critics say the plan just shifts the financial burden. They're raising concerns about how local governments will pay for the essential public safety, education, and community services they provide that are funded by property tax revenue. Voters will have the final say in November. Elections and Investigations reporter Sam Stockbridge spoke with Engage host Sharon Stone to help us understand what's at stake.
So, Sam, let's start with the basics. What is a homestead property tax exemption?
It's kind of a mouthful, right? So a homestead counts as two things. It's got to be a primary residence, and it has to be property that the taxpayer owns. So that means that it doesn't count for the millions of Floridians who rent. It also doesn't count for businesses or for the second home. But the way that that works is that it allows you to get a discount on the value of your home before you calculate the property taxes that you pay to local government for it. So currently, Florida has a $50,000 homestead property tax exemption, which means that if you have a $500,000 home, you can pay taxes as though it's only worth $450,000.
So state lawmakers have tried to help with the cost of living for years, Sam. Lawmakers passed property insurance reforms in 2022 and 2023 to try and stabilize the market. And they've looked at property tax relief before in recent sessions. What was in the governor's proposal we're talking about now?
Yeah, so he had proposed, and now lawmakers are going to send it to voters, to increase that homestead property tax exemption up to $150,000 starting at the beginning of 2027. And then by the middle of 2027, on July 1st, that would increase up to $250,000. So that's a lot. That covers a fair chunk of what a lot of people pay in property taxes. Now, because of how Florida deals with tax policy, those are going to be constitutional amendments, which means that they have to get approval from voters in November. They actually have to get 60% of the vote in order to become law. There are also some other things that were in his proposal. There's a limitation on what local government can spend that money on to what he considers core public needs, which would include things like public safety and infrastructure. And there are also some other nice little add-ons. He would tighten the cap on the amount that the assessed value of commercial properties can increase. So right now, your commercial property can't be increasing in value by more than 10%. If it's more than that, it gets capped at 10%. His proposal would bring that down to 5%. Also, another thing that doesn't offer immediate relief right now, but does sort of, for future growth, kind of limit how quickly things can grow in the future.
Talk to me about who supports this. Who are you seeing against it?
For this specific affordability proposal, it's been pretty much mostly Republicans supporting it. There were a few Democrats who ended up defecting to vote to put it on the ballot, but it was pretty much a party line split. And yeah, Republicans, including DeSantis, have really for a while now been saying that local governments essentially had a lot of largesse. They've had more money than they really should be spending on services that are perhaps unnecessary for most Floridians. And the idea is that when cost of living is so high, Florida taxpayers need a break, and reducing property taxes is a great way to put some money back in their pockets. The difficulty is that that money is going to come from somewhere. And in a lot of cases, that's going to make for a lot of pain with local governments actually trying to pass balanced budgets that take into account these really big changes that were kind of made without a lot of input from them. In fact, a lot of them testified against them, or came out very strongly opposed to them during the special session this week.
So property taxes are one of the primary ways local governments fund services. And Sam, that funding is sparking so much debate locally.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And property taxes are a really important thing for pretty much any municipal budget. They fund a lot of important local services, and often they have kind of an invisible role in a lot of these things. I mean, obviously they pay for a lot of things like, depending on where you live, things like libraries or parks or community buildings or programs, but also they can take on a slightly less visible role. Like, for instance, if your town builds a new baseball diamond, often that's a big enough cost up front that they don't pay it all at once. Just like a brand new car, they'll pay a chunk, but with recurring payments that come back for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, they're paying off continuously. So there are these things that property taxes are kind of helping to fund that are longer term investments in the community as well.
And we should point out the proposal was modified by the legislature from a plan rolled out last week by Governor DeSantis to maintain funding for schools, sheriffs, property appraisers, and other constitutional officers. Given that, how have local governments reacted to this proposal, Sam?
Kind of what I had alluded to earlier is there's been a lot of pushback. I think a lot of local governments feel that they have been very substantially left out of these conversations, that this was sort of forced onto them. And in a way, that's kind of been a theme recently for a lot of local governments when it comes to restrictions on developments that I think a lot of communities would like to be able to have, but that the legislature has made very difficult for them to maintain. So the Florida League of Cities, for instance, put out a statement against this, as well as an association representing libraries, which, again, an area of the public sector that could stand to be affected by this by a great deal. And the reason for that opposition is that these cuts are big enough that they are going to really substantially reshape how local governments have to budget. You know, these are things that are going to require cuts, they're going to require changes to services, or if they don't require those things, they're almost certainly going to require increased fees or increasing taxes on other parts of their tax base in order to be able to maintain those services. So this is really going to dramatically reshape what these budgets look like. And that's frustrating and worrying, I think, for a lot of them as they get ready for the budgeting season up ahead.
Can we talk about what this means for renters more?
Yeah, as much as this could be a great boon for people who have homes, people who own property are not everybody in Florida. A lot of people still rent, whether out of preference or because they can't afford to buy a home right now. And this plan doesn't offer relief. And so there are a lot of groups that are worried that these changes could effectively lead some of that taxation to be shifted onto renters because they still are vulnerable in some sense. They don't have these protections that property owners do. In fact, here's Esteban Santis of the Florida Policy Institute.
So people who are renting, you know, what happens when the landlord gets a higher tax bill because the localities have to make up the difference? They're going to shift those costs.
So a lot of local governments are also bristling at the governor's insinuations or sometimes outright comments that they've been misspending money and that they've been collecting too much money in a way that is greedy and disadvantages Floridians. A lot of them are finding real roadblocks in their budgets in trying to acquire like basic services, things like fire trucks that have exploded in cost in the past 4 years. Gas and oil are expensive for municipalities the same way they are for the rest of us. And cities and towns and counties are also trying to offer competitive pay and benefits while the cost of living remains high. And those are all things that require a lot of money that a lot of local governments have been struggling to provide in the current environment. Because the governor's definition of what counts as core services, that could affect some of these things that we talked about, like parks and cultural events and rec programs that are considered maybe a little extraneous, but that are maybe popular in communities or that offer a lot of value. So there's some concern that they might not be able to fund those things even if their population wants to fund them. And perhaps even the bigger problem is that there are some municipalities that are worried that they won't have the money to actually fund the things that are protected as important investments, things like fire and police departments. Because if you don't have enough money from your property tax base with these exemptions, you don't have enough money for them. Doesn't matter if you're allowed to spend the money on them. If there's not enough money in your budget to fund them, you can't fund them all the way. So that might mean cuts even for services that are important and that everyone wants to have funded.
Any counties or cities especially affected?
Yeah, I mean, almost all the municipalities that I've heard about or talked from are expecting some kind of disruption at some level. But it depends on where they are and what their tax base looks like. So, for example, Orlando is probably going to be somewhat insulated from a lot of these changes. I say somewhat. They're definitely going to have problems, but that's going to be offset a lot by the number of renters that they're going to have who aren't going to see their property taxes decreasing, and also revenues from tourism and from businesses and sales taxes. Those things are going to represent a pretty fair share of their budget that's going to help kind of cushion the loss of funding there. But the place where this is really going to be felt the most is in smaller communities, bedroom communities, where there are a lot of homes. So one example of those would be Oakland, which is a small town. It's about 5,600 people on the western edge of Orange County. Here's town manager Elise Huey talking about their challenges.
We're not against reasonable property tax reform, right? But you know, to go up to 150 and then 250 in 2 years, that's a lot.
So with the full exemption, Oakland would need to close a roughly $1.5 million gap in their budget, which that corresponds to about a third of the money that they have in the general fund after they pay off debt and public safety. So a third. I mean, that would be pretty challenging, I think, for most of us to find a third of the money that you have to cut that out of your budget. That's a pretty big challenge.
I don't know. It's so tight, our budget already.
Huey said that some ways of addressing that could look like making cuts to the town's nature reserve or to its arts and heritage center, which hosts the town farmers market. Again, those are two things that probably fall outside of the category of core public services that might be able to be funded through the governor's restrictions.
Okay, so where do things go from here?
That will be up to the voters. And that's a pretty open question, is whether there's going to be support from voters to pass this. So there's also a lot of concern from groups and government leaders that Floridians might not actually understand the ramifications of these cuts, that these are going to obviously make life more affordable for them in the short term, but that there might be this sort of tragedy of the commons trade-off where there are some longer-term costs for everybody in the community that are going to be inflicted if everybody gets these property tax breaks. And when we say everybody, again, it's only people who own this certain kind of property, not everybody. So we've been hearing a lot of these concerns being raised by towns and municipalities. We've had Oakland, but also Volusia County and Orange County, both on Tuesday, had expressed some real concerns about how this can affect their budget.
That was Elections and Investigations reporter Sam Stockbridge speaking with Engage host Sharon Stone. That's it for The Wrap this week. This podcast was produced by Central Florida Public Media with editorial assistance from News Director LaToya Dennis. I'm Brendan Byrne. This is The Wrap.